This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have more comments related to our last segment from Dr. Bruce McAbee. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I sent you that press release. And the part of that press release is a discussion of what I call the double-sized target. You remember that?
The listeners are going to want to know what you're talking about.
Well, I just want to know that you knew what I was talking about first, so you can back up what I'm saying if it has to be backed up. And
sure.
You would know where to look to find the information. Right, as this plane was flying south from Wellington to Christchurch, carrying a load of newspapers and a news crew, the Wellington radar behind them was tracking their track southward. Wellington is north of Christchurch and on a different island from this. Well, Wellington's on the North Island, the south end of the North Island of New Zealand. And the radar beam was shooting straight southward, more or less, picking up the airplane. And the radar was also picking up what the radar guys described as weird targets, a target that would hover in one location for some period of time and then suddenly disappear from that location and reappear somewhere else, as if it had traveled from point A to point B without having any time in between. Now, there's a problem that the radar itself is sampling any point of the atmosphere every 12 seconds. You got a 12-second revolution, five revolutions per minute. So you don't track the target 100% of the time. So something strange might be happening. But then, let's all link it up with the Tic Tac case. I talked to Kevin Day, who was the radar guy, who was watching these things on radar drop from 28,000 feet to 50 feet above the sea in 0.78 seconds. Now, if we were to try to do something like that, it would require 100 G's of acceleration, or I forget the exact number. I calculated what would happen if you imagine stepping on the gas from 28,000 feet, stepping on the gas, putting the pedal to the metal, going 14,000 feet, that's halfway, but by which time you're traveling at a huge rate of speed, and then slamming on the brakes, so your speed decreases to zero when you're 50 feet above the water. That's just a guess as to how a Newtonian approach to this problem would be, and it would require 1,000 G's or something like that to be able to make this work. Well, the point is that it means that these things have capabilities that we saw 50, 60, 70 years ago, like the Air Force intelligence document from July of 1947, talking about these things seeming to disappear as if by a very high speed or complete disintegration. We now know that because the spy radar that was on the ship that Kevin Day was on, the Princeton, I guess it was, because that spy radar could follow the target continuously, since it doesn't have to move any massive mirror or antenna, it just changes phases between radar signals, changing the phase between two radar antennae will change the direction the beam goes. So, point being, we now know that these things can, in fact, travel at extreme rates of speed. And so now I have to go back and reevaluate what we rejected in the old data years ago, like rejecting the idea that that loop, what I call the ampersand image, reject the idea, originally we rejected the idea that the object could have made a loop like that in a tenth of a second. Now we have to know that, well, maybe they can. I don't know why they would, but it might be within the possibility. It might have been intentional. As I said, a number of people attempted to bump an optical system, a camera with a telephoto lens, and create a double looped image, something like that. And nobody was able to do it. I wasn't able to do it. Richard Haynes, you might know,
sure,
long time ufologist, wasn't able to do it. Several other people attempted to do the same thing, and we couldn't make anything vibrate like that. So anyway, with what we know now, we can go back and reevaluate some of the stuff that we had logged as characteristics of UFOs years ago. At that time, we thought it was questionable since they required extremely high speed, but now we know that they do have extremely high speed capability.
Okay, that's pretty interesting.
I wanted to mention, though, I think I should mention to our listeners the press release. I made it into a PDF file so people can download it and read it, because I think all our listeners should get it. It's over at the Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com in the thread about the appearance of Dr. Bruce Maccabee. And there are a couple of paragraphs at the end of this release which really, really focus directly on this, which is, one, the evidence of intent, and the last paragraph, which says, to begin with, these weird radar targets weren't controlled by humans.
They were controlled by something.
Right.
Now, I specifically picked out the double-sided target event, a whole bunch of stuff that happened in the New Zealand sightings. It's on my website. But this double-sided target was very interesting because the radar guys saw this target first behind the airplane, then off the right wing, four miles away, I guess it was, on the right-hand side. Then all of a sudden, the radar guy, this is all testimony based on the radar man, and also what was recorded on tape, so we know what happened. The tape recording has the radar guy saying, you have something flying in formation with you. Your target just doubled in size. Well, guess what, folks? Targets don't double in size under ordinary circumstances. There's no way that airplane radar target could have doubled in size without having something flying along with it to increase the total radar cross-section. Radar cross-section is a term used for how strongly something reflects a radar signal. And a reflection from an airplane that's traveling away from you in a straight line is going to be some value depending on how far away it is. It's going to be staying constant. It won't change. It won't do anything like double in size. So there must have been something going along with the airplane itself, or the target of the radar. The plane plus unknown created a cross section that was twice as large as the airplane by itself.
Now, once again, this section is called the double-sized target at the end of Dr. Maccabee's press release. But I want to really go and focus and nail down your feeling at the beginning of this press release that they're going to confirm that we're being visited by non-human intelligences, because that is the wet dream, sorry to be so explicit, of all those who are hoping for UFO disclosure. More to come with Dr. Bruce McAbee. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we have Dr. Bruce McAbee joining us for some more segments of the Paracast. I want to remind you that we also offer the Paracast Plus to our listeners, with this show free of the network ads, plus the After the Paracast podcast. And for those who order up new long-term 5-year or lifetime subscriptions, you get the coupon code free coupon code for The Phenomenon, the documentary from James Fox. Bruce McAbee, have you seen that movie yet, The Phenomenon?
I have not. I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I haven't seen it yet.
I'll have them send you a link. I think you deserve one. Now, let's get back to your press release.
Let me just say what you had brought up. This is the linkage between what happened years ago and what's happened recently. Because of these observables, the new observables are the same as the old observables. And I say, in situations like this double-sided target, the double-sided target proves there was some object capable of pacing the airplane and then doing its own thing, jumping from one point to another. That's a little bit more technical than the observables we've heard of from the AATIP, because we haven't heard that much from them. But this is the connection between what happened years ago, the way which led to some interpretation, and how we have to reinterpret based on what we now know about the capabilities, these new observables. And we don't have any aircraft or anything that moves in the sky that would result in, if somebody was watching it, they would see the same observables. Observables such as, where are the wings? Where's the engine? I can see it traveling along in a path, straight path, at high speed, but I don't get, it doesn't seem to disappear. How can an object disappear? All this stuff, as I said, these observables connect the past with the present and sort of force us into the conclusion that something's going on that we don't understand yet. Apparently not related to human beings. One further derived observable is extreme acceleration to go from travels, let's say, 10 or 12 miles in a few seconds. That would turn any human being into a puddle of jelly. And as a matter of fact, Kenneth Arnold was the first person to point this out. He said that he saw these things flying along. He couldn't see anything, any ordinary aspect to it. They were semi-circular, and the way they flew, like a saucer skipped in the water. He wanted to get the idea that it would go a short distance in some direction and flip around in zero time and go in another direction and back and forth and back and forth. Reminds me of my grandmother. You know, you say, what's that got to do with your grandmother? My grandmother in Massachusetts, Greenfield, Massachusetts, in 1947, she was out putting clothes on the clothesline. Now, on the east side of Greenfield, Massachusetts, is a sharply rising but it's probably 500 or 700 feet high ridge, mountains, that blocks your view of the east, blocks your view to the east from Greenfield. She was very close to the base of this mountain. There's a mountain that runs north-south, and she's hanging up the clothes, so she's got her head tilted up to see as she puts the clothespin on the whatever she's hanging up. And she sees two round, shiny objects come heading westward. They appear to her field of view, traveling from when she first sees it as they get past the mountain. And then she said they came along a short distance and made a right angle turn and headed to her left, which was to the north. So they were traveling to the west, made a right angle turn and headed north. Now, Grandma wasn't an aerodynamicist. She knew what airplanes looked like, but she also knew that things don't make right angle turns. She was, there were other stories of sightings in the newspaper back in 1947, this time in June and July. So it was okay to talk about flying saucers without having a bag over your head. And she apparently told a number of people that she had seen these things. But then the reaction, the skeptical reaction set in about the first or second or third of July, and it suddenly became illegal to see UFOs, flying saucers. You had to be nuts to see a flying saucer, or at least nuts to report it. My mother says she remembers her grandmother, talking about these things making a right angle turn and heading north at high speed. And at first, my grandfather, her husband, was happy to have her talk about these things she saw. But then when a skeptical reaction set in, there couldn't have been anything like it. Anybody who talks about something like that must be nuts. Grandpa told his wife to shut up about it. And according to my mother, she shut up and never said a word about it again until probably 66 or 67. When I asked her, I learned about it from my mother, and I then interviewed my grandmother. So that's a case of observables where is there observable, like no aerodynamic surfaces, no obvious machine engines for propulsion, shape being circular, and so on.
Let me ask you briefly here, and we can cover it in our next segment. We have a couple more. That is, of all the stuff you've investigated, have you ever personally had a sighting?
I had a sighting in Gulf Breeze, Florida, at a time when they were having zillions of sightings.
Oh, yes, with the guy who once called himself Mr. Ed. Ed Walters.
Yes, Ed Walters. Ed Walters' sighting began in November of 1987. And actually, there were six or so sightings before his on the day that it all began, November 11th, 1987, which I won't forget because it was a big snowstorm in the Washington, D.C. area where I live. So things were hot snow. It was blowing snow in D.C. when flying saucers were being seen by people in Gulf Breeze.
I'll tell you what, let's leave it as a cliffhanger and go into our next segment where you'll talk about your sighting. I should tell you briefly, I did interview Ed Walters, like probably 1989, for a magazine I published at the time. We have Dr. Bruce Maccabee with Gene and Randall. You're in
The Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
With the presidential campaign in its final days, both President Trump and former Vice President Biden are talking about their plans for dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Speaking at a rally Saturday in Flint, Michigan, Biden said he would push for a national mask mandate.
We're going to act to get COVID under control. On day one of my presidency, I'll put in action a plan, a national mandate, mask wearing, social distancing, testing, tracing, all things. As President Obama just said, it should have and could have been put in place months and months ago.
While President Trump touted upcoming treatments and vaccines to battle the virus at a rally in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
And our vaccine will eradicate the virus and end the pandemic once and for all. Americans will return to school and to life. By slashing red tape and cutting bureaucracy, we're producing this vaccine in record time.
USA Radio News. More than 90 million Americans have taken advantage of the opportunities to vote early, according to new data released on Saturday. That's nearly double the number of early ballots cast in 2016 and 60% of all ballots cast 4 years ago. The data from the U.S. Elections Project at the University of Florida predicts a turnout that will surpass the 138 million who voted in 2016 and could give the 2020 election the highest participation percentage in more than a century. More than 1 million Slovakians lined up Saturday to be tested for the coronavirus. The unique plan to try to curb a second wave of infections sweeping across Europe involved more than 40,000 medical, military, law enforcement, and administrative personnel to coordinate the day of testing at 5,000 testing sites. The goal is to eventually test Slovakia's entire adult population, with everyone over the age of 10, which is about 4 million people, to be tested in the next 2 weeks. The nation of around 5.5 million has reported more than 57,000 cases of COVID-19 so far. This is USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Dr. Bruce Maccabee, okay, let's hear about that sighting now.
You were saying that you had a sighting of your own in the area of Gulf Breeze back when they were having their big flap.
Yes. The first big flap was started in November of 87 and went through to July of 88. There were several hundred witnesses during that period of time, besides Ed. Then for the next 7 or 8 years, the sightings came and went. They started in November of 91, they started having sightings of things going through the sky that would start off as red lights and then very often turn white and sort of pulsing bright white lights. It would change from red to white. And it became so frequent that a group of people essentially ended up going out virtually every night except in February and March when there was lousy weather down there. They would be out for 300 nights out of the year. And they saw stuff very often. Well, initially this thing they called Bubba, little brother, would appear and move through the sky some way or other and then go away and go off in a burst of light. It was one at a time until the summer of 1991, I should say, when in the fall of 1991, in September, they started seeing rings of light appear. Well, I lived in Maryland at that point. I was keeping track of what was going on due to my connections with Ed and a lot of other UFO investigators down there at the time. So I decided I'd go down there and see what was happening when they started seeing rings of light in the sky. That was sort of like too much. So anyway, I got there, and on the first night, I was with a group of people who went to sort of one of their standard sighting areas where they would sit right at the south end of the Pensacola Bay Bridge, which, by the way, was partially destroyed a month or so ago. So don't try to cross from Gulf Breeze to Pensacola. If you do that, you go through a lot of water. Anyway, at the south end of the bridge, there was a parking area where people would often stay and just wait to see if something happened. And the first night I was out, nothing happened. I queried people about their previous sighting, to sort of the activities of a typical UFO investigator. Then the next night, I'm standing there talking to somebody. I have my binoculars hanging around my neck. I had a big ear type of parabolic microphone to pick up very faint noises. I had camera with a telephoto lens and all sorts of stuff ready for to catch a UFO. And all of a sudden, some woman yelled, "There it is!" She didn't say what direction to look. I just looked up, and sure enough, there was a spot in the sky that wasn't there before. We were on the north side of Gulf Breeze, and in Gulf Breeze itself, there was a playing field that had bright lights, and of course, the lights of the city itself, all adding together to cause a glow in the atmosphere. The atmosphere was full of moisture, and you had a glow extending upwards caused by all this light. So you could, with your naked eye, you could not see the stars through this glowing atmosphere. With the binoculars, you could cut through the glare of the atmosphere and see the stars up there. So when this lady yelled, "There it is," I just turned my head up, saw there was a spot up in the sky, a spot of light that hadn't been there before, whipped up the dot of the binoculars, and sure enough, I could see a ring of lights. I turned on my audio recorder, and I can hear myself when I play it back, counting off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 little lights in there. And then I crank up the big ear. Now, the reason for having the big ear parabolic microphone was, for all these previous cases, I had assumed that if it were a hoax, then they were using some sort of a propulsion mechanism, because they're capable of, these things have been noted to go across wind and even into the wind, indicating that there was some means of propulsion. And I figured I could catch that means of propulsion with this big ear, the type of parabolic microphone that lets you hear somebody whispering far across the room. I put it up and I pointed it at the lights up there in the sky, and I heard nothing. So that left me with a feeling that this could be real. Then I noticed that I reasoned that if this has been a person, if this is a hoax, a framework with 8 lights attached to it, I ought to be able to see the framework. If it was lower than the air glow, the air glow extends upwards from the ground. But if this thing had been down low in the air glow, there would have been glowing atmosphere behind it, and I could see structure. I reasoned that I should be able to see a structure silhouetted against the air glow. So I stared with my binoculars, and I couldn't see any structure at all, just points of light. That said to me that this thing was farther away than the air glow. And the difference was whether it was a few feet in diameter south of the, underneath the air glow, or 10 or more feet in diameter being above the air glow. And since I couldn't see any structure, I couldn't see any indication that there must be some structure. Something must be holding these lights together. If I couldn't see it, with an altitude of several thousand feet, and that gave me a distance, a minimum distance could be several thousand feet away from me, and therefore like 10 or so feet in diameter. And that's a pretty bodacious hoax, if it's a hoax. Nobody ever found anything in Gulf Breeze on the ground that indicated a hoax, by the way. Although in the nearly 200 Bubba sightings of objects traveling over Gulf Breeze that were seen between November 1990 and July 1992, some almost 200 sightings, nobody ever found any remains of trash or anything. Certainly we were thinking right off the bat that this might be flares carried on balloons and so on, but when you see stuff going into the wind or across wind, I don't know, the explanations become more bizarre than the perhaps UFO reality.
I wanted to focus a little bit on Ed Walters, because that's the means through which a lot of us heard of this case. And he wrote a book about it, of course. And there were his photos, and then the report of the discovery of some kind of model in one of his homes. He was a builder, that may or may not have represented the model used in some of his photos. Now, separating the large number of Gulf Breeze cases that may or may not be genuine, specifically about Ed Walters, do you think what he said about his experiences were genuine? And we'll probably have you answer that in our next segment. But my magazine, Caviadem Tour, had an interview with quote-unquote Mr. Ed. So I do remember a lot about this. I remember, of course, that my old friend Jim Mosley lived in Key West, and he went out to visit Mr. Ed. Kind of an interesting year here. We have Dr. Bruce McAbee with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin,
right,
while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called
instantly ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in this free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right, we're back with the final segment with Dr. Bruce Maccabee, but he will be back, or someone said, I'll be back. He'll be right back for after the Paracast for all our subscribers to the Paracast Plus. So, regarding specifically Ed Walters' claims, Bruce, do you accept them as genuine, or are they separate from all the others?
My answer to all those are yes. They're all real. It's hard to believe all this stuff that happened. But with Ed Walters, there's a very unique situation that occurred, which was that we investigators had an impact on the sighting themselves. His first pictures and sighting in November of 1987, he was essentially alone or accompanied by his on a couple of sightings by his wife and his kids, his boy and girl.
What about the case of that model of a UFO he found, I guess, in the attic? Was it the attic of one of his homes? Was that just somebody playing games or what?
Well, we believe it was somebody playing games. The model, Ed lived in a house on a road known as Silverthorne. And he left there in December of 1988. And he moved to another house. And he immediately put his house up for sale, and it took about a year for it to sell. During that time, there were many times when it was virtually unlocked. So somebody could have gotten in there without actually breaking their way in a number of times. Ed said that he saw somebody picking up his trash one time, not a trash man. I thought that was strange. When this model was found, it was found by the guy who bought Ed's house. And it was found in the following way. The guy who bought the house moved into it, and then, and this was, would be like December, I think, of 91. And the guy who moved in, after being there for several weeks, wanted to connect up his refrigerator to a water supply so he could get make his automatic ice maker work. And in Florida, there are no basements, so to speak. The house is on a slab. So he knew that he had to go up into the attic to find a pipe. He had to, he found in the kitchen this little pipe that comes down, comes out of the wall and as it was crimped on the end, so that it wouldn't leak. It didn't have a valve on it. It was cribbed on the end. And so the guy who bought the house realized that he had to shut off the main water to the house so there wouldn't be any water pressure. Then he could saw off this crimp on the end of the little pipe and put on a valve. So he is looking for a shut-off valve for the house. It can't be under the house. There's no basement. So he goes up a stairway that's inside the garage, And Ed pointed out numerous times the garage, main garage doors were open so that people could look in the house if they wanted to, if they're thinking of buying it. Anyway, Mr. Menzer, that's his name, Bob Menzer, goes up the stairway and walks, starts climbing over the floor joists, which have insulation, blown-in insulation. He goes over to where he thinks he's up above the refrigerator and starts moving the blown insulation sideways to find a pipe. And finally he does find a pipe. But it doesn't. There's no shutoff valve on the pipe. So he had to call up Ed and find out where there was a shutoff valve, and Ed tells him that it's in the yard in front of the house. It's unfortunate that Menzer didn't tell Ed what he had found at that time, because by this time, as Menzer was moving the insulation, he came upon this model that was sort of like buried in the insulation. Anyway, Menzer said, "I found this model. My thought was, well, Menzer was aware of Ed's photos to some extent, although he hadn't lived in the area before. And when he moved in, he heard about it, about the house. The fact that he had bought the house where that guy was who was taking UFO photos. Anyway, he thought, well, maybe Ed had made a model for some reason or other and put it on a shelf and left it there. And a few weeks later, a newspaper journalist was checking up on Ed's all these sightings that occurred like 2 years before. Now we're up to 1992 about. And right, the journalist comes along to the door of Ed's house, talks to Mr. Menzer, says, according to Menzer, the reporter said, have you seen any UFOs around here? And Menzer said, no. And the reporter said, have you seen any photos of UFOs around here? And the reporter said, and Menzer says, no. And then the reporter asks, have you found any models around here? And Menzer says, oh yeah, I did find one. And so that's how this model came about. It was featured in a newspaper story in May, I think it was, of 1992. It might have been 1991. It's been a long time since I thought about this stuff. That's how the model came about. So I agreed that the paper used in the model, part of the construction paper, was a blueprint for a house that turned out to be a house that Ed never made. He made a blueprint for a speculation blueprint, but never actually built a house for it. There was a huge argument over there between the skeptics and the skeptics and the believers over whether or not Ed was telling the truth with respect to this model. Ed said he had never made a model, and in fact does not appear in any one of his pictures. So it would have to be an extraneous model if it was something that Ed made. But it was argued instead that somebody had taken Ed's trash, taken a blueprint out of the trash, used the blueprint paper because it's nice and stiff to make a model, and had made this model, which is not actually duplicate any of the models in the photos, but it's the same sort of classification, you might say.
Hey, for those who want to get more information about the things you do, where do they go? Mention that website again.
Rumac.mysite.com, www.brumac.mysite.com.
We have a link over at the Paracast. So Bruce McAbee will be back for after the Paracast, after we end this segment. Just want to tell you listeners, you can find our stuff on, of course, Twitter. We don't get censored by Twitter. Just check for the Paracast. We have two segments on Facebook. They aren't censored either, not because they're liberal or conservative, but they don't get involved in the political byplay. We also have branded merchandise. And that's really good stuff. Shirts and throw pillows and everything else. You'd find more if you go to theparacast.shop for our online store. Then there's the Paracast Plus. At theparacast.plus, we offer a version of the Paracast with enhanced audio, free of the network ads, and the After the Paracast podcast, quite often, continues the discussion on the main show. Like last week, we had James Fox with more insights into his documentary movie, The Phenomenon. And this week, of course, Bruce McAbee will be coming back for that one. To learn more about the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus for long-term subscriptions. We'll offer free coupon codes to The Phenomenon. We don't have many left because each coupon code could be used only once. So subscribe today at theparacast.plus. Bruce McAbee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.